This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The government issued some unpleasant figures today, all of them pointing in the direction of a deeper recession. In the last 3 months of last year, economic production, the gross national product, dropped 9.1%. Nothing like that since 1958. In those same 3 months, the rate of inflation increased to 13.7%. Nothing like that since 1947. Today, with that kind of background, President Ford began to sell his economic and energy remedies at the White House. Phil Jones has the story.
The president's sales pitch started over breakfast with the bipartisan congressional leaders. He received promises of cooperation and also some advice. Assistant Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd.
I indicated my viewpoint that we ought to move to gasoline rationing, that this country ought not be subject to blackmail.
Later at a briefing for governors, mayors, and local officials, the president reacted to the idea of gas rationing.
I do not think a five-year gasoline rationing program would be accepted because it wouldn't provide any incentives for new sources of energy in the United States.
And at the end of the day, not all those who had heard Mr. Ford, and especially the Democrats, had been sold. Pennsylvania Governor Milton Schaap.
I just don't think that the program that he put forward yesterday is workable. And I think that there's going to be a lot of changes in Congress.
The president knows his program is headed for congressional knocks. The push now is for quick action on some program. Phil Jones, CBS News, the White House.
You can call it revolution, or you can use a gentler word. But by any name, the reformers in the Democratic Party drew blood today on Capitol Hill. Mariah McLaughlin reports.
The Democratic caucus voted to dethrone two chairmen, F. Edward Hebert of the Armed Services Committee and W. R. Pogue of Agriculture. The steering committee had voted yesterday to renominate both men. Members of the caucus evidently don't like the idea of the steering committee telling them who should or who shouldn't be retained as chairman, because at the same time they took action against Hebert and Pogue, they refused to accept the steering committee's recommendation, which would have deposed 81-year-old Wright Patman of the Banking Committee and Wayne Hayes of the House Administration Committee. Today's action gives a temporary reprieve to those two chairmen. Both men must face other tests. Patman is opposed mainly because of his age, and indications are now he will eventually lose his chairmanship. Hayes is opposed because he is abrasive to his colleagues during floor debates. Hayes says he is guilty of that and promises to be less abrasive. Chances are that the Democrats will accept that promise and retain Hayes. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Kremlin spoke through its official TASS news agency today. The apparent message, repudiation of the U.S. trade agreement does not mean that détente is dead, only wounded. Richard Roth reports.
TASS says it would be a gross miscalculation to assume rejection of the trade agreement heralds a shift in Soviet policy and complains that Western news accounts of the Soviet turndown made only passing mention of what was described as a U.S. attempt to interfere in Soviet internal affairs, a reference to the agreement's linkage of freer immigration with trade benefits. TASS says it's as if the Soviet Union asked the United States to abolish private enterprise in return for improving relations between the two countries, and asks, why do some American senators think they should be allowed to instruct the Soviet Union in the right way of life? Richard Roth, CBS News, Moscow.
Marvin Kalb, our diplomatic correspondent, learned today that the Kremlin has recalled Ambassador to Brennan for a review of foreign policy, including détente. One State Department aide told him that everything's up in the air. The Senate Armed Services Committee is hearing conflicting testimony from Richard Helms and William Colby, past and present directors of the CIA. Daniel Shore reports.
Colby and Helms, long-standing colleagues, appeared before the committee together, but they broke on the issue of CIA domestic activities in the 60s. In his first publicized statement, Helms refused to go along with Colby's admission of impropriety. Said Helms, Americans were spied upon only when evidence appeared of their involvement with subversive elements abroad, only in response to the expressed concern of the president, that is, Johnson and Nixon. Helms said CIA became concerned with extreme radicalism in the United States only in the degree that the trouble was inspired by or coordinated with or funded by anti-American subversion mechanisms abroad. And far from apologizing, Helms called the current attack on CIA irresponsible and damaging to the national interest. For Congress, as for the Rockefeller Commission, the issue now is whether CIA overstepped the bounds by its domestic activity, as Colby admits, or just expanded its foreign function to the United States, as Helms claims. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
This word from Detroit tonight. Ford Motor Company plans to offer cash rebates on some models, rebates of $200 to $500. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 656, up 2.35. The volume, 17,110,000 shares. No change in the average price per share on the New York Exchange, up 6 cents on the American. Wall Street on this world tonight. There's been more shooting along the border between Israel and Lebanon today. Tom Fenton has a report from Tel Aviv.
Again today, for the fifth straight day, Israeli artillery fired across the Lebanese border. The Lebanese army returned the fire briefly. The Israeli artillery's targets were Arab villages in the foothills of Mount Hermon, pinpointed by the Israeli army as Palestinian guerrilla strongholds. The Israelis are using heavy artillery, tank fire, and raiding parties in their campaign to force the guerrillas to evacuate their sanctuary along the border, the area Israeli soldiers call Fatalan. The army is treading a thin line. Its stated aim is to use just enough force to make the guerrillas leave the border area, but not so much as to force the weak Lebanese government into the arms of the Syrians. The Syrians have offered to help repel Israeli incursions. A battalion of the Syrian-trained and equipped Palestine Liberation Army is believed to be operating already inside Lebanon. The Israelis have warned the Lebanese government that the introduction of foreign troops onto their soil could be considered a hostile act. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
And now a report on the views of a visiting American in Cairo. John Sheehan has that story.
Senator Charles Percy warned here in Cairo that if there is not immediate progress toward peace, then time, tension, and events may touch off another Middle East war. After talks with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, Senator Percy said there is a chance for a lasting peace in the Middle East, but that any preemptive strike by Israel could destroy the opportunity.
Force of arms has failed in the past. Everyone is less well off as a result of them. Have we not learned our lesson? And can we not learn that lesson? And this is the time to do it. Time is running out.
Senator Percy is on a fact-finding trip for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and will visit Israel later this month. John Sheehan, CBS News, Cairo.
As they say in theatrical circles, President Ford's new economic proposal has had a mixed review abroad, with some saying it's too little, too late. Eric Severide continues his economic commentary tonight.
It is easier to see how this country got into the mess it's in than to see how to get out of it. And this makes satisfying work for historians and moralists. It also tempts Americans to look at other countries new to the industrializing game and warn them, do as I now say, not as I once did. History, like wind, moves at different rates of speed around the globe, so that the United States, in modern cultural terms, is now the old country. And some far more ancient societies, Japan, Iran, Arabia, for present purposes, are now the new young countries. Japan with qualification. It is engaged in middle-age regret and soul-searching already. The wire services today tell us of the new Japanese Prime Minister's bleak statement to his people, a bit like Mr. Ford's bad news of yesterday. Japan's fabulous economic growth rate must slow down, he said. The country got rich and modern too fast. We forgot about basic values such as saving the natural environment, he said. We have polluted the country. We have been wasteful. We must reflect. We must save. And today the New York Times tells us that things are going hard with nightingales in Iran's capital of Tehran. Nobody takes time anymore to care for the nightingale or to listen to its sweet song. When Persians listen to factory-made cassette music instead of the nightingale, the Middle Ages are surely ended for them as they were ended for Europeans when they put clocks in the church steeples. Tehran is now choked with cars and car exhaust. Supermarkets sell hot dogs. Architects and builders are betraying both past and future, as they have here, by throwing up glass and metal cubes that a high school pupil could design. The Shah of Shahs dreams his dreams of glory, bombers, rockets, artillery, tanks, and calls it national defense. King Faisal of Saudi Arabia rapidly accumulates his new toys from the arsenals of the U.S., France, and Britain. And today he was busy inspecting Syria's new Russian toys, jet fighters and anti-aircraft rockets, all for national defense. The boss of Algeria is dreaming of atomic weapons for his country, national defense. Since everyone is a defender, it becomes hard to find the offenders they are defending against. And all these nations think they are increasing their national security. They are actually decreasing it. As with the help of America and others, they busily trade their barrels of oil for barrels of gunpowder, bound to explode eventually, however long the fuse now measures. They think the name of the game is security or prestige. The old new countries, sadder if not wiser, know the real name of the game is idiot's delight. This is Eric Silvereyes in Washington.
That's the world tonight, Thursday, January 16th. This is Douglas Edwards, CBS News.